Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for another day, Lord. We can come into your house. Lord, get the rest we need, Lord, and to listen to your word. Lord, you're so precious. You're so good to us. Lord, we just appreciate every moment, Lord, every opportunity. Lord, we never want to take it for granted, Lord, the opportunity we have together. Lord, to hear thy precious word, Lord, it's more than life. Lord, it's worth more than anything in this life, Lord, and we just appreciate it. We ask you to have your complete preeminence in this service. Everything that's said and done be done for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to turn to page 124, I only believe.
I'm pressing on.
I'd like to turn to page 17, I think, on their little capstone books. She was playing this before service here. Amen. Be thou my vision, Lord. Amen. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best God, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, out to me, riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Amen. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Amen. What beautiful words. Well, somebody must have been feeling to sit and write that little course. Amen. They truly revealed what they was thinking, what they was feeling, what's in their heart. Amen. May we feel that same way. Amen. Thou King of Heaven, my treasure thou art. Amen. Brother Paul, you might take up the offering again. just another touch from you, Lord. Amen. Oh, just another touch from you. Precious Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege, Lord, to be able to come to you with our needs. Lord, as that little song says, just another touch, Lord, from you, everything's going to be all right. Lord, we know there's many going through so many trials in their life as they get older. Lord, things that arise in life, Lord, it's not always fun to deal with. But Lord, we know you're more than able to meet our needs this night. Lord, you know our heart's desire, Lord. Lord, if our heart's desire is to be here, Lord, you will meet that in a mighty way. Lord, we just appreciate you and love you with all our hearts. Lord, we can't thank you enough for every time you meet us here, Lord, to fill your Holy Spirit. Lord, the dwelling deep inside of us, Lord, if we just bring it with us, Lord, you said you'd meet us here. Where two or three are gathered. With our precious brothers and sisters, Lord, we lean upon you each and every time. Lord, we give it all back to you so you may get your glory and honor. Lord, so just meet each need, Lord, according to your will. Lord, bless Brother Bobby down there in the veterans' home, Lord. Lord, never want to forget, Lord, how tough that's got to be. Lord, just keep your hand upon him, Lord. Give him the company, Lord, he desperately needs. Lord, just dwell with him each and every day. Lord, some of the people in here, Lord, my precious brothers and sisters, Lord, I know they're going through some trials. Lord, I ask you to keep your hand upon them. Lord, just be with them, Lord. Lord, only you know each and every circumstance of each one of our lives. Lord, we can't point fingers at one another and blame one another for something or say hateful things, Lord. We need to uphold each other. Lord, always stand behind each other, Lord, ready to help. Oh, Lord, what a day that'll be, Lord. That's what you want. That's what you want in this little group right here, Lord. I know it is. Lord, I pray for each one of them. Lord, and I pray they pray for me. Lord, that we may do your perfect will in this life. Lord, that we all may meet again on that day, Lord. What a wonderful time that's going to be. Lord, I just ask now, Lord, that you bless the word into our hearts as it comes forth. Lord, revelation is more important than anything in this life. Lord, and we appreciate the opportunity we have now together and hear thy word. Lord, just have your way in the remainder of the service. Bless each and every one now. It is my prayer. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. You love each other. Amen. This is all we have, saints, right here. This is all we have, each other. Amen. Anyone have a song tonight or a special, Brother Tim?
I have never
First met him, he's been all to me. All my life, with his joy, it doth fill. Is that the truth? Amen. He's so precious. Let's all stand, if you will. As we ask our pastor to come, bring what the Lord's laid on his heart. Just be pulling on him, saints. Amen. Pulling on the word. Come across the pulpit. Each and every time, we ought to be thankful. It's such a blessing. There's so many people long, you know, the old forefathers and the old prophets long for this day. And we're standing right here. We sit right here and we listen to this word. May it be a joy to our hearts and lives. Amen. As we ask him to come, let's sing out a little chorus. Only believe.
Bow our heads again. Precious, precious Heavenly Father. Again, Lord, we truly appreciate again that you give us another opportunity today, Lord, to gather around your precious people and the blood purchased of God. And Lord, we realize that again, that if you don't reveal your word to us, we'll go out those doors, Lord, and won't mean anything to us. We're trusting, Lord, and asking to this evening now that you would open our hearts to the Word and make it alive, and let there be a work of the Holy Spirit take place in our life. And Lord, truly we can be a people that has been conformed to the image of the Son. We pray now that you'll help us to yield to you. Again, Lord, may you clean our wounds out to our soul, the mind, Lord, that you could come through and manifest yourself through us. We ask in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. While you're still standing, let's just renew our minds real quickly to that John 14:20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Again, may the Lord bless you in this word. You may be seated. I'll try not to hold you too long tonight. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but we'll just go a certain spot and stop, because I know Paul and Heather has to drive so far home, and I don't like keeping over a half hour if I can keep from it. So let's just enter right back in now where we was at this morning, and talking about this Christ in us, and we must recognize that. We must see it made manifest. We must see it, in other words, fulfilled, that Christ is in us. And as we go back into these quotes, I'm sure you'll see again what direction we're going in. But and first of all, before I get started, I just really enjoyed those songs. You know, coming through the door and just a closer walk with thee, you know, and a higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height. Oh, may that burn in every one of our hearts to scale the utmost height. Amen. But I really enjoyed that, and I appreciate that. So we find here in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Just refresh your mind to this and just a couple other small things here, not real long quotes. And again, to just get us in the right direction. So in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, on paragraph 300, the prophet was saying, he says, the life of Jesus Christ, if it ever puts out another body of believers, it'll bear the fruit that the first one did. They'll write a book of Acts behind it, because it'll be the same. And then he repeats, same life. See what I mean? You just can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you, been injected in you by the Holy Spirit itself, living its life through you. Now, we've had this for years, talking about the life of Jesus Christ. I mean, for years. But we already know, according to what we've done, in, let's say, a period of 30 years of hearing it, it still hasn't registered. It still hasn't become alive like it needs to be. So thereby, we know that there's a purpose in this. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit wants us to go back into these things and just maybe by God's grace, He'll open our understanding to it. And then if He should tarry another 30 years, we definitely will not be even close to the same people we are tonight. We'll be a different people. But I really honestly don't believe it will go another 30 years. I can't see that. I can't see it going another year, to be honest with you. And as quickly as things can happen now and be fulfilled, I honestly can't see it going on another year. But we find here, and as we would see Jesus, let's refresh our mind to this. And he's been talking about, as we read there, talking about a body of believers, his body, his feminine, in his feminine designation, his wife being this people that would write another book of Acts if that same life comes in her. And then he goes on to this, and sirs, we would see Jesus. He said, then if Christ lives in you, there you are. See the life of Christ you live. He said, see, it's just that way. It's He lives in you. Okay? It's all about Him living in us. It's Him in control is what happens. It's us no longer in control. We've had control of our lives for a long time. Maybe many of us still have control of our own life. And our life shows that, you know, because we're carnal, fleshly, do things we shouldn't do, things in our life we can't overcome, that's a sure sign that you're still in control, that it isn't Jesus Christ in control, Him living His life through you. So we find here, he goes on to say, He takes your place. Again, now let's just remember, you see, this is all about Him pushing you out of the way and Him coming in and living, however you want to see it, expressing, if you want to say manifesting, His actions, however you want to say it. But it's Him, it's the Holy Spirit, and through His Word, taking your life over. Okay? So just keep those things in mind. He takes your place, and we are supposed to represent Him in every way. Okay? Again, it goes back to every action declares Him. Okay? Now we find out that the first church did represent Him. Right on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost began to come down, they'd been up in the upper room, and the power of the Holy Ghost came down on them, and cloven tongues of fire come down upon them, and then they went out into the street, and people thought they was drunk because they were so empowered by the Holy Ghost. And of course, the Scripture tells us, and Peter says, it was something about the third hour of the day, you know. So he says here, now we find that the first church did represent Him as written epistles. His life lived through those people. Okay? His life lived through those people. The same thing He has to do to you and I. He has to live through us. Okay? He says, I can't compare our church today. As hard as it is to say this, as much as I love people, yet you've got to be honest and tell the truth. I can't say that we see in the churches today reflecting Christ in a way that those people did. All right? Now, has it changed yet? Now, you've got to kind of keep in mind something here. You know, this is when the prophet was with them. And mighty things was happening. Okay? Mighty things was happening. Blinded eyes coming open. Cancers falling off. The dumb could talk. All manner of things. The dead raising. But it's basically, if you want to put it this way, so you can kind of get to the right direction, and say in a kind of a carnal way, but yet to get what I'm trying to get to, what he's going to say here. It was a one-man show. Because those people were operating off of his faith. By them seeing the Holy Ghost do and those visions come forth as it did, that gave them the faith. If that prophet wouldn't have been there, they would have never got it. But by that prophet being there and God doing through that prophet what he did, the people was able to catch things. They was able to catch faith and get a hold of something. So the prophet is taken off the scene. It's back the same as it was when he wasn't here. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay, just follow me. But there's supposed to be a church come. And come on the scene. But that same life will come through his wife. Yeah. Same life. She's supposed to be able to catch this revelation. She's supposed to be a people that's genuinely filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's truly, honestly, purely Christ in them. Okay? Truly. It isn't just a bunch of people standing around a message and sitting around a message and listening to the message and reading the messages and agreeing with it. Now it goes way beyond that. But what we've got a lot of is just agreeing with. I believe in saying that. I agree it's truth. I know it was God's prophet. I know he's God's vindicated prophet. I know it was the works of God vindicating through that prophet. We know all these things. the same as the disciples could have said when they was there with Jesus, walking right beside of him. But boy, didn't they fall apart when Jesus was hung on the cross and died. They sure fell apart, didn't they? Until they went to Pentecost. Then something began to happen. And then is when Christ was in them. And that's when something happened. You see? You follow me? Okay. So let's go on. Now we find that the first church did represent him in his written epistles. It's read. Let's go on down. I can't compare a church today, as hard as it is to say, this is as much as I love people, yet you've got to be honest and tell the truth. I can't say that we see it in the churches today reflecting Christ in the way that those people did. They knowed that they had been with Jesus. And we know what he said after he's talking about Peter at the gate, all beautiful and so forth. And just by what they'd done, people could tell then they'd been with Jesus. They could tell. Something happened to them. Something real. You know? Something genuine. Like I say, before their conversion or before they went to Pentecost, there's many things to the scriptures. The carnality showed up in the disciples. Just like Peter. You know, when they, and Jesus was, you know, here they brought meat back, brought victuals back for Jesus to eat. And you know, they had to have a little conversation. And, you know, why ain't he eating, you know, and this, that, and the other. And it just began to escalate. And the Lord Jesus then said, I have meat to eat you know nothing of. My meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me, and to finish his work. But his disciples didn't know nothing about that. He's always bringing in some kind of a carnality until they went to Pentecost. Can you see that? Do you agree? Or do I have to read a bunch of things to show that? I'm sure we know enough of the Word, we know those things. Is it going to be any different with us today? If Christ isn't in us, now remember when they went to Pentecost, Christ came in them. Okay? When we receive the Holy Ghost, Christ is in us. A lot of things changes when Christ comes in us. But until Christ comes in us, we're building this record. This is nothing but carnal decisions, carnal this and carnal that and carnal this and lean into the flesh on this and lean to the flesh on that. Just constantly, just carnal, carnal, carnal. Yet we follow the Word just like the disciples did, as we read this morning. They followed Jesus. They followed that Word. We sit here tonight and we're following the Word. We follow it and follow it and follow it and follow it. But until we have a true experience of Jesus Christ coming in us and taking our life over, we're just going to keep showing carnal this and carnal that and do this carnal, do that carnal. You know? Can't help it because we're born in the flesh, born in carnality. Came in this world speaking lies, cheating, stealing, doing all these terrible things. The only thing we did was kind of just soothe it over a little bit and made it a little better in our lives, maybe went as far as sanctification. And we started cleaning our lives up. But it seems like some just never get done cleaning their life up. So what's the problem? They didn't go on to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see? So, again, we want to make sure. Because as we said, talking about this morning, talking about concerning Scripture, once we see Christ in us and know he's there, I'm telling you, there's some wonderful blessings. There are some wonderful treasures. There's many riches when you know Christ is in you. Yes. And but again, God made it in a way that you just couldn't say it. None of us could just say it with our mouth and make it so. No, there's something he did through us that made it where everybody could see it. Everybody. Every passerby. Did he not say that in the token? I thought he did. Every passerby. Did he not go say, your associates you work with? Absolutely. Now you try to throw that out and don't believe it. And again, we'll show you what the prophet said. These signs won't follow you. But he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. You see? But there's no way it'll follow you if you don't believe it. If you're always trying to push something, the prophet said, under the rug, because some back past Baptist preacher kept telling me it was this other way, or some Methodist preacher told me it was this way, or some Catholic preacher told me it was that way. You keep hanging on to those little glitches. I call it filthy glitches. I call it death. Man's creeds. And you're going to die if you ain't already dead. You see? That's how serious this is, friends. And we can't take it serious enough. Because I'm telling you, we've got to have this life. It has to be Christ in us. And if He's in you, don't you realize people's going to see it? We want to claim He's in us, but then go do our carnal things. And then we're trying to point Him out to be something, some God that can't control flesh. If He created the heavens and the earth, He can definitely control our flesh. Now, if you don't believe He can control your flesh, you really got a wrong revelation. A real wrong one. Yeah. Not saying we won't make mistakes. You'll get trapped sometimes, maybe. But you definitely don't have it in your head. I'm going to make mistakes till Jesus comes, so I'm just going to make them. You ain't got no revelation. That's a bunch of nonsense. Because when you do that, you've totally tossed out the overcomer. And it's the overcomer that shall set within one strong. There's so many things, if we're not careful, friends, we can hold on to carnal ideas and crucify Jesus Christ afresh. Because we're holding on to carnality. Things that's just completely contrary to the Word of God. You would think of, after all these years of preaching and teaching the Word of God, we would understand some of these things a little better than we do. But it seems like some don't. Now it's time we do. Because I'm telling you, you're running out of time. We're all running out of time. It's going to be one thing, either the Lord's going to appear, or your flesh is going to be taken out of this life. You're going to die. You're going to pass. And you'll run out of time. But just always remember, I believe exactly what that prophet said. If you're a liar here, you'd be a liar there. If you're a doubter of God's word here, you'd be a doubter of God's word there. He said, don't worry, you won't be there. Now, I'm not throwing anything out, that prophet said. A lot of people will, and they don't care. It's just lolly-da, throw it out. I don't care. That's why I just can't remember them things, Brother Steve. Oh, the Holy Ghost was supposed to bring those things to remembrance, whatsoever He said unto you. Now it's an excuse. You see, the Word don't leave any little spots for anything other than Christ to live. As bad as maybe some may want to make little spots so we can get by with this and get by with this and not have to do this and not have to do that, God's Word won't allow that. No. He said we'd be overcomers. That's what we're going to be. And again, I know, saints, these things are maybe hard and they're hot. And I don't know how you look at it. But to me, I see nothing but life for it. Life. Yeah. And I know I can't go just anywhere and preach these things. I know that. I wouldn't last a minute. No. I wouldn't last a minute in some renowned, well-renowned churches. It would burn the preacher's britches. You think I'd be able to stay there? No. It never happened. Nope. Let's go on. He says, see, they know they'd been with Jesus. We remember what he said there. Now, let me just read this real quickly, and then we'll go on to some other quotes. This is in Perfect Faith again. Just real quickly go into this. He says, the identification of a scripture Christian, these words said Jesus, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, how can you call yourself a believer, a people, and deny those words? How can you call yourself a believer and deny any of this word? You can't do it. You're not a believer. Therefore, signs can't follow because you just accept what you want to believe and let the rest of it go. See, you don't believe it, but you got to take the whole thing and believe it. And when you truly believe, not make believe, but really believe, then these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, could you compare a Christian today with them Christians of long ago? How them disciples walked in the power of the Spirit and moved by the Holy Ghost and do it? Just a prisoner, as I preached on the other night, a prisoner to the Word and the will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? Oh, I still would. I'd love to see a church that they couldn't move until God moved them. Wow. Think of that. That's really something. Couldn't move until God moved them. That takes some prayer. Waiting on God. Waiting for God. Watching. Listening. Carefully examining. Takes many things to do that. Okay? He said he couldn't even move until God moved him. And we know what he's talking about there, even when he talked about the woman following him and the other disciple and following behind him, and oh, thou art servants of the Lord God Most High. You know, and just kept on, just one right after another, just basically mocking, you know. And knowing he had the authority to cast that devil out of her. He knew he did. But yet, he would not do it until God told him, okay. Could we pass that same test? Knowing a spirit was trying to control a certain situation and would not do anything until the Holy Spirit give you the approval. Or do we see something like this happen? A spirit controlling something or taking over something, and we're just jumping there, Satan, get out of here. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. Or do you wait on God? Do you wait and see what God has to do? Oh my. Do we have that? Saints, I don't know if you're getting this, but I'm going to tell you. You better cry out to God. You get it. Because this is real. Yes. This is the real church he's talking about. You see? He said he couldn't even move until God moved him. He said, wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? Now, maybe some don't care, but I'd love to see a church rise like that. I'd love to. Yes. He says it's going to. It's going back. He says it's got to come. That's right. It's on the road now, he says. Remember, I read it this morning. Okay. It's on the road now. And as I said, I sure trust that God will make sure by his grace we're on that road. Amen. Amen. A people truly led by the Spirit of God. Oh my. Christ the mystery of God revealed. I didn't read this one this morning, but I'll read it now. Paragraph 484. His presence, now listen to this, his presence in the individual. Okay, now, it's you. You have to put yourself there by God's grace. It has to be revealed to you that you're one of the individuals. I have to know by God's grace through revelation that I'm one of those individuals. Okay? His presence in the individual with a personal vindication. Does anybody know what he's going to say next? With a personal vindication of Hallelujah. Himself. An individual. The personal vindication of himself in you, because you're an individual, and in me. That's what I've got to have. That's what you've got to have. His personal vindication in me and in you as a personal individual. Okay? The living word, this promise for the day, expressing itself through you, see, a vindication of the great revelation of God. Look, only in an individual. Only in an individual. God only knows who those individuals are sitting here. Okay? He says, never, never in a group. Never. It's got to be individual. It may be one young adult. It may be one young adult, one middle-aged person. It might be one old person. And the rest of us never get it. Never see it. It might be a half a dozen in here. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that it wouldn't be all of us. As I hate to say. But I hope it would be. But hope is wishful thinking. I would hope it'd be every one of us. But that I don't know. I'd sure love it to be. But I don't feel comfortable feeling assured that it will be. An individual, not in a group. His identification, he repeats, is in an individual. An individual. He said, do you get that? The congregation replies, amen. Not with the Methodists, not with the Baptists, not the Presbyterian, not the Luther, not the Pentecostals, but as an individual. I'll take one. Look what he puts next. I'll take one. I'll leave one. I'll separate them. There'll be two in the field. Isn't he talking scripture? Absolutely. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one. And I'll leave one. There'll be two in bed. I'll take one and I'll leave one. That's going to be a husband go without a wife, or vice versa, a wife go without a husband. Yeah. It's terrible to think, isn't it? But I'm sure it'll happen. I'll take one, I'll leave one, I'll separate them. Remember, it's individuals. The wife might get it and understand this and live through her. Or vice versa. The man, the husband might get it, and the wife never will. And she'll never go. Or he may never go. Or maybe one of the young people in the house won't go. Yeah. Maybe none of the young people in the house will go. Maybe the young people go and the parents will sit there in bed. Because it's individuals. It's what Christ is doing through you. See? There'll be two in bed and I'll take one, leave one. It's not a group. It's a personal vindication. A personal vindication. Of a pregnated child of God filled with the Holy Ghost. So surrendered to God, he don't care about anything else. Think of that. So surrendered to God, he don't care about anything else. So was talking about today. Some put so much in their possessions, their homes is their everything. They own them. They own their cars. They own this and they own that. And it's mine, 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 mine. No. Not these individuals. No. They don't care about nothing else other than Jesus Christ living through them. Of course, if he's living through them, then all these other things come forth, actions, and they do right things. They're kind, they're giving, they're kind, loving, forgiving, all these different things. You see? It makes them a blessing to society instead of a curse to society. It's not a group, it's a personal vindication of a impregnated child of God filled with the Holy Ghost, so surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else. And the Holy Spirit living its life. The Holy Spirit living its life. Not you, not me. The Holy Spirit living our life. Now again, the only way you can have that is you're surrendered, you're a prisoner, and he lives through you and controls your thoughts. Yeah. You have the mind of Christ. He controls your decisions. Controls where you go, controls what you say, because only the Holy Ghost can tame his tongue. He controls everything about what you listen to, what you look at. He controls it. Now you're talking about the Holy Spirit living himself in you. Okay? The Holy Spirit is God in spirit form, remember? Okay? And the Holy Spirit living its life, pulsating through him, through you, showing the personal vindication. He mentions it again. Showing the personal vindication of the Word itself. Expressing itself to the people. Expressing itself to the people. That's what they're going to see. Expressing itself to the people and to the world. Oh my. Saints, we just need to maybe take these things slow and really digest them. And meditate upon them. Pray about them. You see? It goes right by them, though. See, there's some that'll just go right by them. They're never going to catch it. He said, but it goes right by them. And they don't recognize it until it's gone. Lord, don't let me miss it. Let me recognize it now, Lord, what you're talking about. You see? It goes right by them and they don't recognize it until it's gone. It only picks up the predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundation of the earth. The same thing come through in the days of Noah. The same thing come through the days of Moses, the days of Elijah, the days of the prophets, the days of Jesus. On down through to this very hour. The rest of them, it'll go right over. And it'll not see it. But the predestinated seed is going to see it. See? The pregnated person with the seed of God, the word in there, because they've been impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and it's in there, okay? He says, the pregnant person with the seed of God, the word in there manifesting itself, is so surrendered to the will of God that the word and the word alone, manifest itself in this person or you as an individual. Friends, let's go take a close walk with Christ. Yes. When the Word and the Word alone is manifested. Now how, if the Word and the Word alone is manifested, how could anything else manifest? How could carnality manifest? How could envy manifest? How could strife manifest? How could anger manifest? How could hatred manifest? Huh? but it's the Word itself is to manifest through us. Strive, friends. The prophet said, strive to do the perfect will of God. Strive with all that's in you. Don't never be satisfied with your boo-boos, your carnality. Don't never be satisfied with that. If Christ is truly in there, you, what did the prophet say? The church is with. You will hate the works of the flesh. Is that right? Now, something's wrong if we don't hate the works of the flesh. When the flesh gets out of control and does something that's contrary to the Word, and you don't hate it, you've got a serious problem. You're not lined up to the Word. You see? But today, it's become a love to fail. A love. Oh, well, I just made a boo-boo. I just made a mistake. No big deal. Lord, forgive me. You mean to tell me that's all you got in you? I don't know about you, but if I make a mistake, friends, it makes me so sick to my stomach. I get a nervous feeling. I just feel just sick, nauseated. I think, why did I do that? You know? But some can just do things wrong and just another mistake. I've seen people apologize for things done and laugh and giggle all the time they're apologizing. You think that went anywhere? Giggle, giggle while they're saying, oh, brother, I'm sorry, my brother. I should have never done that to you, brother. You think God heard any of that? Again, you got a serious problem. When that didn't make you sick of what you've done. That's the problem. If we felt more sick of the things we do wrong, maybe we wouldn't do it so much. But we don't get sick about it. We're a legalist. Well, I better make it right, because I'm supposed to. But nothing on the inside. You're not really sorry. And that's what repentance is turn away from your past sin. You're truly sorrowful for what you've done. Yeah. Then God will listen. As far as that goes, your brother, when you go to him giggling and laughing and everything, how does he know you're even serious about it? He knows you don't mean it. He knows you're going to do it again. If not to you, to the next brother. Yeah. Because he knows you're not sincere. It's a joke to you. Something funny. You hurt your brother and you think it's funny? You stabbed your brother and you think it's funny? You jab him with some kind of a carnal statement, trying to get at him. I'm going to tell you, friends, you need the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. It goes right by them and they don't recognize till it's gone. It only picks up the predestined seed that God predestined before the foundation of the earth. I'm about to close. The same thing comes through in the days of Noah. I guess we read that. Predestined person. Manifest itself, person and prisoner of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's see if we can close off here real quickly. I guess right there is where we'll close off. Because if I go into that, it's going to take me a while to get out of that one. Amen. Saints, I trust that you're getting it. And it's causing you to search and research and make sure everything's the way God wants it to be. I didn't even get close to where I wanted to go. Day, but Lord willing, we'll pick it up again sometime. Maybe Thursday night, I don't know. But let us all stand. Why don't you sisters come to the instruments? Amen. Let's sing a little song. Maybe we can get a little something out of you. Amen. A little bit of sound. Amen. So feel quiet. Amen. Saints, please listen to these things. Take it to heart. Pray about it. Search your own life. Make sure. I've got to search my own life. You've got to search yours. But we've got to come out to this point, friends, where we know Christ is in us. And there is no way possible and doing some of the things being done. No way possible. Now, you might be deceived, and you might think you're a Christian when you're not. But I'm going to tell you, there's no way possible of you being able to proclaim Christ is in you when flesh is still living and carnal. No way. So don't even go there. No. You won't find it in there. No. You might find your creed and your idea about it and your thoughts, but you ain't going to find the truth there trying to do that. You see? We've got to know, saints, Christ is in us. It's getting close to rapture. I didn't read it tonight, but I wanted to read some more before I get to it, but I just kind of throw it back at you so you can think about it. But when you see that life, Christ in you, come into the body, you know the rapture is at hand. I don't know about you. I want to get out of here. I have no reason to stay here tomorrow. None. Absolutely none. If the Lord comes tomorrow morning, oh, I want to be ready, friends. So if it ain't ready, I better get ready tonight. Yes. And you better too. Because we don't know the day or the hour. I don't know. And there might only be one in this building that life's come back to. There might be some over in Africa. Remember, it ain't a group. It's individuals all over the earth getting ready. And Christ is in them and expressing. Oh my. Oh, how great He is. May these things really, really saturate our hearts. Amen. Like I say, and maybe you've never heard it quite this way before. I don't know. Maybe it hasn't come to you this way. But it's there. It's in the prophet's messages. And now that by God's grace He's opened my understanding to some other things, again, it's like any other revelation. It runs through the whole thing. You can see it. Everywhere you look, it's there. And that's where revelation does. It always stays in continuity with the Word of God. If it breaks continuity, it ain't from God. But if it's from God, it will not break that continuity, friends. And if you get a revelation, as I said, you watch when you start picking up them prophets' messages or listening to them and so forth, and you watch those things strike you. That's right. That's right. That's right. He's been talking about that. That's exactly it. That's it. That's what the prophet was trying to show us. You see? Oh, give us revelation, Lord. Cry out for revelation more than anything else in this life. Again, friends, don't forget, I'll remind you again, I love you people. Oh, I love you people. And I want to see every one of you make it. Sometimes it may sound like when we're up here preaching that it sounds like nobody's going to make it. Well, I got to say, I know there won't be very many make it. I'm not talking about just in this group. I'm talking about all this, what we've got going on, people claiming what they got. It's too many, friends. Way too many. It's just going to be a few. Very few. The prophet said 2-3 times, very, very, very few. Yes. He said, now there'll be thousands come up, raised when, well, those from down these past ages come up. Yeah. But this last days, friends, it's few. Very few. And I really see why. Because people can't get it unless the Holy Spirit reveals it. You can try to think about it. You can try to imagine it and put it together. You can try intellectually put it together. Friends, it ain't going to work. It has to be the Holy Ghost revealed to you. And then you watch your body swing right around. You're subject to it. You see? And everywhere you're thinking, you're, oh, it's Christ made manifest in me. Christ made manifest. It's Christ in me. It's His life. It's not me. I am dead. Don't the Scripture tell us that? Are dead and our life is hidden in Christ. It'll all just keep coming together and gelling together more and more if you get a revelation of it. And again, if you get the revelation, you watch your body swing around and come subject to it. Yes. That's what I'm looking for. Amen. That's the life. And that's when the rapture is going to take place. When you see that life come in the body. Oh my, I wish I would have had time to go into all these things before we close, but there's no way I can. Let us bow our heads again. Precious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this day and thank you for your word, and asking again, Father, that you would give us revelation. Oh God, make it real. Lord, in my feeble ways, I've tried to bring it to the best way that I could possibly think it I could, but Lord, I can't do it without you. I know I can't. And Lord, I told you that before I came tonight. I said, Father, I can't do this. Sometimes I feel like I'm not saying the right things. I'm not reading the right things. But yet, Lord, I know it takes you to reveal it and to open our understanding to it. So that's what I'm asking you to do, Lord. If you just come down this little congregation and bless these people, Lord, with revelation. Bless me with revelation, Lord. Oh, God, that we'd be able to climb and scale the utmost height. Oh, glory to your name. As Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. May we press, Lord. Press like we've never had in our life. But Lord, knowing you're about to appear, and all this must be fulfilled, and all of it must be manifested, just exactly like you said it would be. So help us to be that number, Lord, and recognize by grace through faith that we are that people. We ask that you would bless each one now, Lord, as we go to part from this little place, and may we never part from thy sweet presence. But Lord, lead us by your Holy Spirit, for they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Lord, help all these things gel together in our hearts. We ask now thy will be done in our lives. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You got a song you want to sing, anybody? Amen. All. Amen. Can we sing it, of course, again, just a closer walk with thee? Amen. Let's sing it.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Richly bless you. You're all dismissed.